Welcome to the show, Shondae Person. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm like delighted to see you in real life. It's amazing.
Likewise. I feel like this is our first like actual conversation outside of Twitter, but we've known each other forever.
Yes, right? We're the oldest of friends who have never met once. And it's such a weird life we all live, but yeah, I've never officially met you, which is so funny and weird, but yeah, great to finally do that.
Likewise.
Thanks so for having me. I know it's a famous story because you started as this incredible salesperson that became this tech killer, but tell me a little bit about that journey and how you got into engineering from that background.
So I, as you mentioned, started as a salesperson, and I went to school for business, both undergrad and grad school was all business because I was fascinated with entrepreneurship and the way that businesses operate, what makes them tick. And in sales, I got into sales because one of my entrepreneurship professors, undergrad, told me that the best way to understand what it was like to be a salesperson is to have a commission-only sales job. So you're learning all of the risk involved, how to sell, how to maintain a book of business, how to build up a pipeline. And it was so true. And I loved it and I was really good at it. But it was never something where because I would like stop every once in a while and look at the career paths beyond the different levels of sales that I could reach up to. I could go into sales enablement, I could be a sales manager. There's a number of different things that I could do. And none of those paths were like glaring at me as something, oh, this is the thing that's meant for me. And I feel like a lot of people that I've been meeting lately are like, I'm in something that I'm really good at. And if I switch careers, I'm going to lose all this career capital and all of this knowledge is going to go to waste. And that was a big fear of mine too. And that's why that and also the fact that engineering to me, I had just believed all the stereotypes that engineers are these very introverted, dorky people. And it's true. And I fit the stereotype as well. But I'm maybe not as introverted, but I was like, that's not the career for me. Like, I need to be somewhere where I'm talking to people. I get to be the center of attention and I get to like, you know, engage with people. So maybe sales is the right thing for me, even though there's so many aspects of it that I don't like. But I was just like, engineering wasn't something that was really on my radar as something that I would ever like. And also, I didn't want to lose all of the career momentum by switching careers after over a decade in sales. So I started out as a hobby, and it kind of was a hobby, but I decided to pursue my passions for entrepreneurship by starting a business. It started out as a Shopify site. And I thought that what I would love the most about it is just like the selling aspect of it, like the going door to door, literally like selling to businesses and stuff. But what I found the most fascinating was learning Liquid, which is Shopify's language based on Ruby, to customize my site and build like widgets and things. And when somebody buys something from my site, setting up the automation so that it automatically sends them a customized email and gives them order updates, or how could I automate my marketing emails and stuff. And there were products out there that did what I wanted it to do, but I wanted to configure it the way that I wanted it to work. And I loved it so much. I was just sitting there and I would like, in my head, it was like wasting time because I'm like, I need to be out here selling and I need to be out here making deals and negotiating with suppliers. But that's all I wanted to do. And then it got to the point where, because I had this community of entrepreneurs around me as well, and people were like, could I pay you to do what you did for your site? And I'm like, oh, people get paid to do this? Like, I don't know why I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And that's what sparked in my head that, okay, maybe I could start a business where I do this for other people. Maybe I could start like a consulting company. And then it wasn't until I moved to Georgia in 2019 and I started with this company called SalesLoft as a salesperson, where like I met folks and I would have these conversations about engineering, but really it was like I saw this ad on Facebook, and this was when I was a Facebook user. I saw an ad for Codecademy, and underneath in the comments, somebody was like, oh, you don't need to have a computer science degree to be an engineer. And I was like, oh, really? So all of that, like I wouldn't have to give up all of the stuff that I had done in sales.
Yeah.
And so that, like, I was like, okay, maybe I'll try to do it while I'm working my sales job. I'll start like really learning how to code with the intentions of switching careers. And then I also gave a talk this January at a conference about how I leveraged a lot of the skills, and I still to this day leverage a lot of the skills that I used in sales to make me, I call it like a superset of an engineer. Like I can do all of the coding stuff because I've taught myself all of the technical aspects of it, and I continue to learn more about that.
Yeah.
But because I have all of these soft skills that I've gotten from my career in sales and engaging with people and negotiating, now I can do not only the technical stuff, I can do the technical plus like the business view of things. I can do the interacting with people. I can do the selling people on the whys and the priorities that our engineering team has decided on. So, and I still get to use all of those same fun skills and interests that I didn't want to leave sales for, like the engaging with people, things like this, where I'm getting to, you know, talk to people like you and engage with people who are learning to code. All of that stuff is still there, but now I also have this added benefit of being able to code every day for a living. So it's like living the dream.
Totally. Yeah, you're like the super communicator who can also be a super coder. So that's like it. A deadly, deadly combo, an unstoppable combo, because yeah, I mean, it is stereotypes about engineers, but some of them are a little true.
That's true. It is true.
So you're working at Sales Loft. Did you start there as a salesperson or as an engineer?
Okay. I started there as a salesperson. And then, cool. So part of my goal, I had this whole strategy of how I was going to sell them on letting me interview, because this was my, I was a salesperson, but this ended up being my first engineering job that I got. Yeah. So, I had this whole strategy for how I was going to sell them on the fact that they should open up a junior position, because they were really hard to come by at that time. And this, like when I started with them, it was like mid-2019. Mm-hmm. And I didn't move into, or I didn't get to interview until late 2020 as an engineer. So this is when like the world is falling apart. People are getting laid off. Companies are like going out of business and stuff. And I'm like, well, you guys should open up a junior position so that I can, you know, learn more.
And then, what can
so, yeah. So that was a challenge. Like it was that time was such a blur. Yeah. But one thing that I did was I leveraged my strength. Like I started with the stuff that I knew, which was how to sell. And I'm gonna make a YouTube series. Make this into a YouTube series at some point, like in the near future, I'm going to make a YouTube series. And, but one of the things that I did was, or one of the tactics that I used that I used to use as a salesperson is you assume that every sale, especially because you're selling to big enterprises, right? Every sale, like the person that you're talking to is not the only person that's involved in making that decision. If you think about any company that you've ever worked at or any decision, even in your personal life, right? You always have somebody else who is your sounding board, who you're like, should I invest in, like, should I buy this car? Is this like what I need right now? Or should I buy this house? Like, what do you think of it? So never assume that the one person that you're talking to is the person who makes all of the decisions. What you need to do is be able to, like, and this is just sales in general, you need to have multiple contacts at a company and have all of those people take part in selling for you. So you kind of have to set up this team of people who are bought into this decision. That's just general sales practices, right? When you're selling to an enterprise. My goal was with this engineering team at Sales Loft, I need to know multiple people and I need them to know me. And if any two people on the engineering team bump into each other at the coffee machine, I need them to know not only my name, I need them to know my engineering abilities, and I need them to be the type of person who would advocate. Like, they would know me so well and know, have this such a high reputation of me in their head. That when they meet and they say, oh, do you know Shawn Day? It's like, oh, yeah, but have you seen this thing that she's done? Yes, I've seen that thing that she's done. Have you seen this other thing that she's done? Yeah, she needs to be the next person on the engineering team. Yeah. So I was, like, individually going around and, like, kind of selling myself to everybody, but, like, diet version of selling. So we had this bot. And let me know if I'm going, like, way too deep into this.
No, I love everything you're saying. I'm fascinated. And I'm like, every person is going to want to do all this. So please. And I'm horrible at sales and run my own business. So let's. Oh, what? This is great. This is free. This, I'm taking advantage of you. Go ahead.
I love it. So, yeah. So we had this Slack bot. And this was my way of getting these warm introductions. We had the Slack bot called the Donut. And what it does is it just automatically every 2 weeks will match two lofters, is what sales off people are called, yeah, would match two lofters at random together so that they could meet up for coffee. Anytime I was matched with anybody outside of engineering, I would just ignore it. Anytime I was matched with somebody in engineering, I'd be like, oh, when are we going to go get coffee? And so it was just an easy way for me to make those introductions with people that's not, like, creepy, where I'm just reaching out on LinkedIn. Like, totally. And so I would have these meetings, and then during that conversation, I'd be like, oh, you know, so tell me about engineering. Hey, by the way, you know, I'm learning to code. Like, can I show you some stuff that I've been working on? And I would get their advice on, and I knew how to have a conversation because I'm a salesperson, right? Yeah. But I would have these conversations that was very, like, you know, calm and natural, but I would be getting information from every interaction where I'm learning learning from them things that I could put in my portfolio, but also getting their buy-in so that when this engineering role came up, this, you know, in my head is an inevitable thing. Someday this junior position is going to come up. Everybody's like, oh, I know exactly who needs to be known about, who needs to be notified that this job is open. I also, at the same time, was submitting projects to the engineering team, because we had an API that, so, okay, we built products. SalesLoft is a company that has a tool for salespeople. So I was selling a product that we built for salespeople to salespeople, right?
Yeah.
I'm also a user of the product because I'm a salesperson. And I'm like, I know more about your customer than you do because I'm your customer and I'm working with your customers every day. So I used the API, and I was like, your customers are asking for this. Your customers need that. But this is not something that your engineering team is prioritizing. So I would build it, and then I would submit it to the engineering team, and they would circulate that, and it would get to, like, the VP. One time the CEO emailed and was like, this is the most incredible accomplishment that I have ever seen. And so there was one day I got an email that was like, hey, we're having a meeting right now, an all hands meeting with the engineering team. We want to know, are you available to jump in? And so I was like, this is weird, but what?
I'll check my schedule. Yeah.
Right. I was like, of course I'm free. Of course I'm free. So I come into the meeting, and they gave me an award for most projects submitted as somebody who's not in the engineering team.
Oh my gosh.
And they were like, we also have opened up a junior engineering position, and we invite you to interview. And that was where I got in. And so I already had so many people who were rallied behind me. Like, even when I had a different idea in my head when I went in for the interview, that, like, I mean, it was like, I was very fairly evaluated on my technical skills, mm-hmm. but because I had already done this work to establish myself, my reputation for somebody who can quickly learn and grow by showing them my products, and then also showing them my personality through these donut meetings, everybody already had these expectations in their head that she is going to be a great contributor to the team. So that helped me in the interview process, where I felt more relaxed. People already felt like they knew me by the time, you know, I was interviewing with them. And so the interview went really well. So And that was
I bet. Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah, that's incredible. And also, like, shows how those skills are so transferable elsewhere, but also how users are the most important thing, right? And so sometimes we're like, we have to be really focused on learning X, Y, and Z. And then it's more just like, you have to really think about what your users actually are doing when they're using your tool or using your website or whatever. So
you 100%. Did
that 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I say that all the time because, you know, there's a lot of people who will just message me out of nowhere and be like, hey, you know, I wanted to introduce myself. Someday I want to get to be an engineer. Someday I want to get to Netflix. What, like, technical skills do I need to know? Or do I need to know this, like, React 18? Do I need to know this one very, like, niche feature? Yeah. And I'm like, don't worry as much about that. Worry about, like, first of all, why? Like, why do you want to do this? And figure out what your why is. And then figure out what you're good at, what you're interested in. And I feel like maybe 30% of what I do is actual engineering work. So much of it is just the decisions you make around the product related to your users, like you said, and then also your collaboration with your teammates. So those soft skills, arguably, to me, are the... Well, to me, I mean, I'm the, I guess, the data point of one, but, like, I feel like the soft skills are supremely more important than having all the technical skills. Like, the technical skills are very important, but not as important as soft skills.
Totally. And I think, yeah, it is so funny how people get so obsessed with, like, well, I have to learn this one thing about this weird corner of something. And it's like, no, people just want your website to not be terrible and to have them be able to do the thing they want to do. And yeah, it's very interesting. But you mentioned Netflix before. How did that transition happen? And how did you get on the amazing juggernaut that is Netflix? Like, how did that all come to be?
Yeah. How did it come to be? So I was immersing myself. This is what I do with everything. I'm either obsessed with things or I'm not interested at all. There's no in between. Like, I can't just be like all casually.
No casual interest. Like, yeah.
No, not at all. So when I was learning to code, I was immersing myself in it. And at the time I was still commuting. And I was listening to podcasts. And so Front End Happy Hour is one of my favorite front end podcasts. And the folks on that podcast, the hosts, are largely from Netflix. But one, Ryan Burgess, and Jem Young as well, like, they were some of my favorite voices on the podcast. And this is before. So in sales, I might have just been living under a rock, to be honest. But from my perspective, there's no, like, concept of FANG in sales. Like, nobody's like, ooh, you know, because there's no salespeople at Netflix. So, like, none of that was like, ooh, to me.
Yeah.
But so I it didn't click for me until a while that they even worked at Netflix, or that Netflix was, like, this big desirable place to work. So it wasn't like all of that, because I notice a lot of people that will message me about Netflix, it's just like this big, you know, oh, this is how I know I've made it or something, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like that for me. It was more of, I've had experiences with all different types of managers, and Ryan seemed like an amazing manager. And he, some of his episodes were him just speaking as from a manager's perspective in his leadership styles and the ways that he makes decisions. And I was like, man, it would be a dream to work for this guy someday. And I binge listened to their podcast because it had multiple things that I'm interested in, which is, like, whiskey and front end. And I'm like, amazing. Oh, this is so awesome. So,
all the,
so
check
I binge
boxes.
Listened to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I binge listened to it, and then I ended up tweeting at their handle, or I was just like, does anybody else have any more podcasts that I can listen to? Because I just, like, went through 7 years of podcasts in, like, 2 weeks. And so from there, we became Twitter mutuals, me and Ryan, because he tweeted back at me like, oh, that's some serious binging. So we had been Twitter mutuals, and like, we would casually just, like, you know, respond to each other's tweets and stuff like that. But there was one I kept in my head that Netflix was a place that I wanted to go to because of Ryan. Like, I wanted to work on a on Ryan's team. And there was one day he tweeted about a new role that was opening up on his team. And I was like, oh my God, everything is perfect. Like, the tech stack, the team that he's on now, him as a manager, and I think I already said the tech stack. Yeah. So everything is like perfect, but I'm not ready because I don't have enough time under my belt. So like, there's no way that I could possibly get a job at Netflix. So what I decided to do was I messaged him and I was like, hey, I'm not ready for a role. I know you're not asking, but like, I'm not ready for this role just yet. I was like,
slow down, guy.
Thank you, but no. So, I was like, I'm not ready to like really apply, but do you think you'll have another role open like a year from now, 6 months from now? And can we talk now and let me know what skills I would need? Same conversation, that exactly what I was just telling you. Like,
yeah,
people will ask about the technical skills, because I was like, the role required React, TypeScript, and GraphQL.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any GraphQL at the time. Like, I knew what GraphQL did, and I studied a lot of your stuff, Eve. Not before the interview, but since starting at Netflix, I was like, I don't know that. But so like, but I was asking Ryan, like, what type of technical skills do I need in order to feel comfortable applying? And so we had a conversation, and he was like, you know what? I think you should just apply. Like, the worst thing that could happen is that they'll say no, but the policy with Netflix is like, they'll give you feedback on why no and what things that you need to work on. So you get all your questions answered. Oh, wow. And then it'll also give you more practice interviewing. And I was like, you know, like, I'd be very devastated to hear no, but I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to, you know, really put all my effort into it. And so, yeah, I interviewed and I got the position, which has been amazing. Like, I've been here for what, 2.5 years now. Yeah. And it's been like, every day is a new challenge. It's just been so much fun, so much learning. Every day is so much learning. Yeah. And not just technically, it's like learning how to lead and communicate and give feedback. That was a really hard thing, giving feedback to people, like negative feedback.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've really loved it here. But yeah, I used a lot of the sales skills to work toward here too.
They're there. You might as well use them. Totally.
That's it.
It's all part of it. And are you using those technologies mostly there now? Like React, mm-hmm. TypeScript, GraphQL stuff? Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm using. I do want to learn, because I'm very heavy front end, but I work very closely with our back end folks, and I want to learn more about the back end. We use Kotlin on our team on the back end, mm-hmm. but I just haven't had the time. And there is so much that you could learn about the front end. It's not just the languages. It's also like the architecture, the build tooling, the automation. There's just like an endless amount of things. And then once we settle on one thing, we're like, oh my gosh, this new cool thing came out. And we also have the autonomy at Netflix to just like change things up if there's something better, or if it will improve our users' experience. So there's always like new things to try, but I do want to learn a little bit of the back end so that I can, I feel like learning different languages and learning more about different domains kind of alters the way that you think in a good way. So I want to learn just enough so that I can, like, for example, with TypeScript, I found that the way that I code and the edge cases that I consider have gotten much more comprehensive since learning TypeScript. The way that I code has changed a lot to support all different edge cases and make sure that I'm thinking about more possibilities for errors in this way and things like that. So I do feel like learning more of the back end could help me out with even more. So when I have time, that'll be the next thing.
Totally. That's really cool. I think it's also, it helps connect weird things that you know about the front end and how they kind of connect to the back end too. And like types and all of that stuff that you're so well versed in. People mm-hmm. are, that's obviously such a huge part of the back end and why back end engineers don't like JavaScript. And now they're sort of coming around and all that stuff. So it's all good. exactly. I don't know what that was for, but editing is great. So you have been working on this TypeScript class. Speaking of TypeScript, I want to hear, like, how did that, I know TypeScript is just the hardest thing to learn sometimes. There's a definite learning curve to it, but then once you're kind of in it, it feels like you're in the right place. But tell me a little bit more about that course.
Yeah. The way that this came about, like a lot of the things in life, is that I didn't know it. And I've, not in life, but in engineering, I've found that a really fun way, fun is kind of a weird word to use, because I can be a masochist a little bit, like, and by that I mean I bring chaos into my own life, like, but like controlled chaos, I guess. Like, I don't like things to just be monotonous and mundane every day, so I like to bring new things in, but just like in a kind of a very stressful way. And I like a little bit of the stress. I like a lot of the stress. So
love it. Top to bottom, love it. Yep.
Right. It's so, like, and this is where I get a lot of the ideas for my conference talks, because I'm like, who am I the most nervous about being in this audience? Let me build something that is gonna make me shake when I have to present it to them. And then I do it, and I have to do it so well, because I'm like nervous about it. I have to do it so well that I learn so much in the process, because I need to do it perfectly. So TypeScript came about because it was something that our team was going to be migrating to, and I didn't know anything about it, and I hated it. And I was like, you know what I should do is just like teach a whole course on it. Like, I should teach everybody how to use it. I didn't know how to use it. And once I started to learn more about it, I was like, oh, I like this. And I can see the reason why companies are adopting it. So this was more just of a commitment to myself that I needed to learn something new, but I needed to learn it so well that I could teach it to other people. So if you wanna, right now it's in workshop phase. So I'm doing workshops. I know you know Kent C. Dodds. He has his Epic Web Empire. And so I recently agreed to do my TypeScript workshop under this Epic Web umbrella. So that'll be part of that.
So cool.
Yeah. And then the course itself is called TS for JS TypeScript for JavaScript Developers. You can find that at tsforjs.com, and you can find updates. So the workshop is going to help you to learn the fundamentals, and then the TypeScript full-blown course is going to take you all the way through from the fundamentals to the advanced, all the ins and outs and everything that you need to know. So if you want to stay updated on that, there's a link to just putting your email address, and you can learn more about that there.
I love it. I think, yeah, we'll totally link to that. And it's such a good resource, and also so cool to be part of the empire there. I was going to say umbrella, but I liked your word better. under the umbrella, part of the empire feels more dominant. So I like it more. I think it's so cool to, yeah, I can't wait to sign up for that course. It's so super exciting. What else? Another thing I was going to ask you is just like anything that you want to plug, any conferences coming up or things you're excited about in general? Could be tech or not.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, so I, the workshop and the course have been taking up most of my time outside of work.
Yeah.
Also am planning on two more conferences. And then I kind of want to like simmer down, because my conferences, it's a lot that goes into it. I know you know this. There's so much that goes into writing the talks and practicing and putting the slides together and then just like traveling and getting ready. So I kind of want to wind down a little bit from that for a while, so that I can focus on work, parenting, and completing this workshop. So workshop should be before just the
minor
end of this year.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, just
raising a
every
child.
Every day a little, you know, making sure that my
working at a
my
fan
child.
Company. Yeah. Building a huge workshop.
Yeah, right.
Just I think you're those things. I think you're set. Schedule seems good.
I know. You're so right.
Don't have to apologize
I am doing
for that.
I am doing two more conferences, but nice. It'll be the same talk both times. So in June, I'm going to Poland for Code Europe and doing a talk about Remix. And then Render ATL is also in June that same
cool.
week. So
yeah.
I'll come right back and then do that talk at Render. And then just going to take it easy. All the traveling that I do will be for... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All the traveling that I do will be... I had to think that through before I lied. But yes, I'm telling the truth. All my traveling will either be for work or for fun.
So. Nice. I like that yeah. too. I saw you were in Paris with your sister or something. That seemed fun. That was for work though, right? Or
No, that was for fun. It was for a conference.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah. So that was... And so I am... an engineer, not in developer relations. So like yeah. this, the conferences, it doesn't have any like impact on my work, except okay. if I, you know, drop the ball on stuff. So yeah, so this was a BEJS conference, their React Paris. This is the first time they did it. And my sister has been such a good sport by like supporting me and going to all of my overseas conferences with me and like eating baguettes and drinking wine.
She's just trying to be supportive. It's a really yeah. tough role that you're putting her in, and I think it's really nice that she's like summoning the will to go on these you know, tough trips with you. Yeah,
I've been trying to figure out how to thank her for her sacrifices. Something
amazing.
Will come to me.
Something, yeah. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Shonda, thank you so much for being part of the podcast today. It was so nice to talk to you for real for once. And yeah, I think you're such an amazing engineer, speaker. Go by every workshop, see every talk, watch all the things that she does because she is a serious killer, and it's awesome. A question I was gonna ask you that I didn't ask you is where is it? Oh, you seem like a cool, normal person. How has that affected your career? But
you, that's such a good question.
You
that's such a
you kind of answered that already, but it that's is true. Like very refreshing to speak to someone who is like fun and chill, and
that's
it's
the
great.
Best I love that compliment so much. Yes, and likewise. I knew you would be like this. I knew I would have fun talking to you, and I'm so grateful that you put me on this podcast with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you all for listening to The Last Tech Podcast. We will see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.
The Last Tech Podcast.